Welcome to Radio Free Merktown, a podcast focusing on and funded by the gaming community at explorersunlimited.com. More than just another play-by-post website, Explorers Unlimited is one of the world's largest online communities of Palladium Books fans who are taking part in a single epic storyline in each dimension within which all player characters can interact. Explorers Unlimited, where the only thing missing from the greatest adventures ever imagined is you. And now here's the host of Radio Free Merktown, Lloyd Ritchie.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Free Merktown. This is episode number 55. Today we have myself, Lloyd, otherwise known as Jezebel or Augur on EU. And we're joined by James and John. How about you gentlemen introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm James. I play, for the time being, Murdoch in The Templar.
I'm John. I play Celandaria in AAPS and Megan Price in Girl.
Oh, fantastic. So, gentlemen, we have a we got a mixed bag of an episode tonight. We got a memorial for Dave Watkins. No new shout-outs for this month. Everything's kind of in flux support-wise for the podcast due to content discussions that we will have shortly. But one of our fellow players, longstanding supporters, and good friend, Dave Watkins, recently passed away. So we're going to have ourselves a little remembrance of Dave. And, I'll lead off with what my wife has to say. She would have loved to have joined us, but she says the following are her words. I'd like to record with you guys tonight, but when it comes to Dave's death, I'm still quite weepy. I won't make it. So just let the audience know, Dave wasn't just my friend. He was my big brother. I never knew I needed one. I could talk to him about anything or nothing at all. He always made time for me and looked out for me just as if I were really his sister. We connected over our games, our faith, and our love of books. We first met at Palladium Open House in 2006 or 2007, I don't remember. He liked my Beyond the Supernatural costume and introduced himself. Over the years, BTS was the game we always brainstormed ideas for. Dave was an amazing GM, but always humble and worried that he wasn't doing a good enough job. I know he'll be missed by EU. Lloyd, if you share game stories too, tell them about the Dead Rain game where Dave and I played Hannah's parents. Our characters were busy with zombies, and Kidlet tried to drive off without us. Dave and I's jaws dropped, and I'll never forget the look of shock and pride on his face. So that's how my wife's entry ends. And she's referencing a game we played at FlatCon in 2009, maybe? I'm not sure. My daughter was still pretty little. But anyway, we were playing a game of Dead Rain, and yeah, as she said, her and Dave, their characters were the parents of Hannah's character, who we kind of whipped up, and they stopped to rescue her, as I recall, and then they got her into the car, and then they started getting mobbed by zombies. She locked the door and backed up over them. And left. That's how that was my daughter's introduction to role playing. Anyway, that encompasses Nikki and or my daughter's experience. He was kind of like an adopted dad in a way or uncle or whatever you want to call it for my daughter as well. He'd get her little things like. Little Japanese, the cat thingy. I think he got her one of those. He got her some manga when he was. Just little things that he knew she would love. He'd get them. He'd get that for her because he had no kids of his own. So he kind of like adopted her in a way, even though she had two perfectly good parents. And for myself, Dave was a good friend. We connected over EU, actually, I think back in like 2006 or 7. Rimdahl was his first character. And Dave had a fixation for dwarves. So there was a bunch of, I mean, he was in Spoke Scouts. He was in a number of the groups through over the years. The last couple of years, he had kind of disconnected a bit from EU itself, but he was supporting the patronage, and he was in our Roll20 game, one or two of our Roll20 games, as well as hosting one of his own for his Illinois group that they, I think they played D&D together. And, well, I mean, we've seen Dave outside of gaming circumstances a number of times. Like, hell, he bought me my first shotgun. So, yeah, he was just a really all around awesome guy. And, well, James, what do you recall from Dave from about, I think from Open House, right? I believe most of us got to meet him there.
That was quite some time ago, and I really don't have a good recollection of him other than the time I spent on EU in just a general chat when he was talking about his fantasy game and just the overall respect and knowledge he had for everyone on the site.
Yeah, and you just shared those Open House pictures too. I was like, whoa, apparently I wasn't the only one with a really primitive digital camera at that Open House.
Jason Marker took one set of those pictures, if I remember correctly.
Ah, yeah. So anyway, yeah, he's going to be missed. He was a really good guy. And he was always a good person to lean on for like sounding board advice regarding, you know, whether your idea sucked and good stuff like that. But in his honor, we put together a location in the Arms Bazaar known as Rimdahl's Roadhouse. And since John didn't have any direct contact with Dave so much, I figured it'd be a good way to include John in this and let him read it out loud.
The only place to quench your thirst in the Arms Bazaar, Rimdahl's Roadhouse, is a clean, respectable bar and grill located on the Rue de Minmay, to the left of the gate and to the Warrens. It is built adjoining to the old-time gun store like an annex. It is located across the street from Vanner's Weapons Repair and does a brisk business primarily with the staff of the Arms Bazaar itself. Being located near the Warrens Gate, Rimdahl's Roadhouse doesn't get as much foot traffic from the transient mercenary population as most of the Arms Bazaar's giant retailers are on the other side of the district near the spokes and the hub. As most of the Arms Bazaar's giant retailers are on the other side of the district near the spokes and the hub. Rimdahl himself was a quiet, somewhat introverted dwarven rogue scientist who travels focused on the ruins and wilderness of North America. While an active mercenary for hire, Rimdahl saw employment with a number of different mercenary groups, all of which are now defunct. After a number of years being the brains behind the brawn of so many groups, Rimdahl turned in his portable field lab and NG blaster to take up the more relaxed life of a pub proprietor. Around the time of his retirement, he made good friends with the reformed Dival named Dave, who, rumor has it, managed to help Rimdahl acquire such an unusual business license for the Arms Bazaar. Dave lost his life under mysterious circumstances during the Minion War when that conflict touched Merktown. Dave's picture hangs in a place of honor on the one prominent wall of the bar. As a former Merc himself, Rimdahl has many quiet, inconspicuous contacts across North America, and being so widely traveled can frequently give an anxious Merc a bit of advice, advance information about what to expect in certain parts of the continent.
So, and the picture of Dave is actually a hyperlink in that, and that links to an image that the Manning brothers did for him, like a portrait of him, and it's of him as a devil, so it looks really cool. But anyway, so this is a tribute to Dave. Dave, you will be missed. And in addition to that ever so uplifting bit of the podcast, there are financial issues afoot. So I am leaving Patreon over the course of the next month or so. And I've already got a Subscribestar account, and I have devised a way to use PayPal that's much better than the previous version we had in the past. So I'm going to let these two guys kind of pick my brain about it.
Okay. You sent out an email, or through Patreon, I guess, and it stated something about the direct PayPal subscription charging a large fee for credit card.
Yeah.
Is that, does that include, well, I'm not that familiar with PayPal. So does that include, what am I trying to say here? Are there multiple ways to pay through PayPal? Does it link to checking accounts as well as to credit cards and whatnot?
Yeah. It'll, you know, PayPal will link to your checking, to your PayPal account, to Stripe, to a lot of things. One thing they really ding you on, though, however, I discovered is if as myself, as the content creator, or they look at me just as a small business owner, they're going to charge me the equivalent of 2 Diamond Patron accounts monthly just to enable credit cards. So that's a huge fee considering, I mean, it's not, if I had like, 5,000 subscribers or something like that, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Of course. You know, why not? Yeah, I only have dozens, not hundreds. So that's huge. That would be like 10% or so of my revenue. It would just not, it's not cost effective. So, but Subscribestar, I should say, they don't really give a damn. And due to the politics and all that idiot nonsense regarding activists back in 2018, PayPal won't do business with Subscribestar. So they're mutually exclusive, but Subscribestar, they'll do credit cards. They'll do everything except for PayPal, because PayPal decided to be the bitch and do what activists wanted them to do.
Okay, so which way is going to get you the most of our money?
I think PayPal. Subscribestar takes a nice little percentage chunk, but it's reasonable. And, you know, they're a smaller company than Patreon. They're not massively funded by venture profit or venture capitalists like Patreon is. But at the same time, they're also not censorious. They kind of mind their own business. So that's always nice. And so I think PayPal for the most part. But, you know, for certain people with like those credit card issues, like they have to use credit card for whatever reason. And I've seen them in the past where it's like, hey, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it this way, because then I, you know, my wife's attorneys will find out or whatever. Which is weird, but I've heard that one in the past. That's why there's both options. Plus, it's just easier to have two options. I mean, it's not easier for me tracking wise, but it's easier for the people. That way, you're not stuck with one way of doing things.
Okay, now, since you have to track everything by hand, would a Zelle option be possible?
What's the Zelle option?
I don't have to track everything by hand. This is what I... Okay, so Tyree and Pat, God bless them, they clued me into this little PayPal option that enables subscribers. So John has personal experience with me having done this whole constantly having to send me like X number of dollars per month manually, which is obnoxious. And also, it's obnoxious for him, and it's obnoxious for me, because I got to update the records every month. Total pain in the butt. PayPal's subscribing feature, on the other hand, literally just sends out invoice. If you agree to it, boom, it sets it up, and it just starts docking. So that's why I'm like, Nobody do it until September. Because it'll start docking immediately, which means if you already paid Patreon in August, you're going to get paid. You're going to be paying. You'd have been paying PayPal as well.
So
it's like.
Now, the PayPal option. Do you have to pay it immediately, or can you let it sit for a couple of days until you get the money in your bank?
It bills direct.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a direct billing, but normally digitally there's a couple of days delay for that.
Yeah, and with the PayPal option, you have to have a linked checking account or one of those other accounts, not credit card.
I do that.
Right, and subscribe charges don't give a damn. But the one thing I can say for PayPal is I don't care when in the month, unlike Patreon, who's like, hey, we're charging on the 1st through the 5th, period. PayPal doesn't give a damn. So whenever you do it in the month, that's when they're going to ding you for recurring payments. So if you do it on the 16th, because that's literally the day after you get paid, that's fine. I don't care.
What about Subscribestar? Do you know about that yet? Like if they have...
I think it's the same thing in that, hey, whenever you do it, they charge you. But go ahead and you can double check that. But I believe that's the case. Because I already have like, I don't know, half dozen subscribers on Subscribestar who jumped the gun. And they already got charged.
And just FYI, the Zelle is the direct bank transfer. It's how I send my kid money.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's the gist of it. And the tiers are all the same. And if you want a quick and easy way to do this on EU or on Savage Rifts, it's the same on both. We don't have anybody on Shadows Unlimited yet because we haven't found ourselves a GM. Reminder, hey, there's a whole website if you want to run Shadowrun. But if you go to my profile on either website, if you could just look at my signature and any post that I have that has a signature link, it'll have all these things highlighted in there with buttons. So you could click
and link to my Subscribestar through the Radio Free Merktown banner image.
You can link straight to the Discord server with the Discord image that's on there. You can link to any of the five different patron tiers through direct to PayPal. Those are all arrayed directly underneath the other buttons. So you can go directly to all of these things just through my signature. And there's also the direct donate thing for people who don't care about credit and just want to send me money. That's under there too. Any other questions regarding the Patreon, Subscribestar, PayPal thing?
I'm good.
I'm okay.
Okay, fantastic. So that should start September 1st. So I will get this podcast edited and published probably tomorrow. And or maybe Monday morning. and then we'll have to go from there. But hold off on anything until the first of September at the earliest. So if you're already a patron, because I don't want you to get double charged. So that concludes that. And that brings us to our question.
Actually, need to end our Patreon subscription before September 1st if we're to do these others?
Yeah. Thank you. And yes, if you're going to get off of Patreon, and you don't have to leave Patreon, but if I'm the only person you're supporting, you might as well. But I'm staying on Patreon itself. I'm just ending my creator page come the end of September. So you got like a month leeway to get yourself out of there or whatever, or just to stop supporting me there. that's fine. But I'm getting out of there as a creator, but I am staying on there because I am still supporting heroic maps until such time as they go somewhere else. And I will follow them. But yeah, if you don't want to get double dinged or what have you, just stop, you know, stop your patronage to me at Patreon come September 1st. And they don't immediately bill. So you've got it. You got the day. Or you could do it at any time between now and September 1st. It really doesn't matter. You could do it right now. And you'd still be good. Because everyone who's already a patron is already paid. So it's fine. And our last, we have a discussion, actually. And that is the Radio Free, or I'm sorry, the Roll20 one-shot concept. Wanted to get your feedback on this, gentlemen. So currently for the in the Roll20 schedule, we have a Halloween special lined up, which is kind of our shtick, right? We do Halloween specials in October. For this one, I have Arkham Horror via Tabletop Simulator, Steam, and Discord scheduled for Saturday, October 24th. Somebody also suggested I do a one-shot, or in lieu of Arkham Horror, do a long one-shot game.
Setting for the one-shot.
Say again?
What setting would you do for the one shot?
I have no idea, but it's October. It's a Halloween special, so something horror suspense would be best. So BTS,
I would like,
or to, Dead Rain, or I don't know.
I would like to do a one shot for October. Because right now, all of my gaming that I've got going on is strictly through EU's Roll20 games. So from beginning of October to the end of December is going to be a bit of a dry spell for me.
Yeah, it usually is for most people. That's why we have we just kill the regular campaigns during the holiday periods, October through December. We pick it back up in January, so we really get 9 months a year of actual Roll20 campaigns. But other than that, it's October, November, December, just the specials, pretty much. So we do have 3 months, and it's okay. So for October, November, December, I have scheduled Arkham Horror, Betrayal at House on the Hill, and Dead of Winter, respectively, for October, November, and December. Would you guys like to run one shots in these? And if so, what kind of ideas do you have?
What turnout do you normally get for this time of year?
Honestly, for the October one shots, I can sometimes get 6 to 8 players. It varies, but for the holiday session ones, I often get 6 to 8. Like, I haven't had to turn anyone away yet, but the times I've been really close, it's been during a holiday special.
Then I would say go with the one-shots if you're going to get that much of a turnout, as opposed to the games, which have limited seating.
Arkham Horror does not. I think that can go up to 8 players, just like, you know, a regular game for us. But I don't know about Betrayal. I don't remember. I think that's 6. I don't remember. And Dead of Winter, we know, is only 5.
You should go colony to colony.
That's also what I was thinking, sir. That would be room for 10 players.
I'm actually good either way.
I don't have Tabletop Simulator, so those options really don't spark my interest.
You should totally invest that $10 or whatever the hell it is. It 15 or 20 now? I got it on sale, but we bought a whole bunch of packs on sale and handed them out to anyone who wanted one. And they
thank you.
Yeah. We had a lot of folks. Plus, one of the savages like sent me enough money for me to buy two packs, like six more games. So I gave out, I think I gave out like a dozen games. See, one of the savages basically matched me dollar for dollar. And I was like, sweet. So we gave out like a dozen copies of that game. And it is good. Massive replay value. Because you basically, it's like Roll 20 in a way, in that it's a simulator of a tabletop session, but it's mostly focused on like board games, but they also have role-playing games on there too. But all the games on there are basically free. They have ones that you can buy within the game, but there's a huge modding community, which has basically taken every board game from Monopoly to Settlers of Catan to incredibly complex games like Dead of Winter and Arkham Horror, and translated them all into Tabletop Simulator so you can play these things online with your friends for free.
I'll have to see, because money's kind of tight right now because we had to do some repairs on our truck, you know?
Brother, I just had to replace an engine. I feel ya. I feel ya.
Just had to replace two catalytic converters on ours, and we're looking at having to replace 8 coil packs on next, and do the plugs and wires.
Ugh, yeah, electrical nightmare. Anyway, so that's the gist of it. So maybe discuss that in the Roll 20 chat in Hangouts, and spark a discussion over there, and then you can refer them back to the podcast here, and we'll see how things flesh out, and we'll see if maybe there's a single a nice one shot maybe in the future, maybe more than one. We'll see. I will talk to you later, gentlemen.
Later.
Have a good evening. See you in a little while.
Absolutely. Good night.
This has been Radio Free Merktown, a WMRK production. Contact us at radiofreemerktown@gmail.com and support Radio Free Merktown on Patreon for as little as $2 per month. Visit us on the web at explorersunlimited.com for more information.